Welcome to Falcons Drip, your go-to source for Falcons news and draft coverage. I'm Thon Ray, founder and voice of Falcons Drip.
Welcome back, everybody, to Falcons Drip Radio. You're listening to us on Monday morning. We're recording it's Saturday. We had another game last night, and we got to see the starters play. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle, and we're going to go over the preseason game today.
I'll say the defense didn't play as well as they did the first game, which is kind of hard to do because they had three picks the first game, five sacks. This game they had a sack, and they had a pick by DeMarco Hallams again late in the game. You also had a sack that Delonte Scott and Justin Ellis combined for. Justin Ellis got there a bit earlier, but they both blew past their offensive linemen they were going against and absolutely destroyed them on that play. So that was one of the big moments. And then to start the game, you had the 10-minute drive. So basically the whole first quarter was Falcons with the ball. It was 10 minutes because there was a lot of penalties. So they kept moving backwards and then moved forward. Ultimately didn't get a score because of a throw that Ridder made, kind of a stupid decision to Scotty Miller, where the defender was all over him. Probably could have been PI, but wasn't called. Ended up getting batted in the air. They intercepted it, returned it to around the 20.
I actually kind of feel like it wasn't that bad of a decision. I feel like Miller, if that's London or if that's Mac Hollins, they're coming back and getting that ball. But Miller being a little bit smaller and a little easier to push around, it led to it getting batted in the air and an interception. I actually think Ridder played really well for the most part on that drive. He was 8 of 9 or 7 of 9, and the one interception wasn't totally his fault. Actually, the Falcons start first team offense gained 106 yards on that drive, but due to penalties, they lost 28 yards. So 78 total yards and then a pick. But you know, this offense is going to be a lot of fun. Like, you can just see the big plays coming everywhere. Drake London, he's skying up and getting the ball. Bijan Robinson cannot be tackled by one guy. He makes the first guy miss every single time. And then, you know, we just saw a little flash of Kyle Pitts, and he takes a drag route 9 yards real quick.
Yeah, it was a great drive. You had the catch by Drake London on the sideline. He gets 1 foot, but he gets the knee in, which counts as 2 feet, which was kind of weird to see. It's not one of those plays you see often. Typically, you think, oh, they got to get 2 feet, so that'll be incomplete. Then you realize, oh, if they get the knee, it counts as 2 feet. So kind of a weird call that people were kind of like, huh, I wonder if this will be called back or not. And then you realize the rule and are like, okay, that makes sense. Because it was a clean catch. The only thing was, did he get enough control of it inbounds with feet and stuff? So that was a nice play on the sideline, little back shoulder from Ridder. Great play by him. Tight coverage.
So when you look at the starting offense, if you want to look at the snaps that were kind of taken, so Ridder took all 17 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
The next highest was Mac Hollins, had 14. Drake London and Bijan each had 12. Kyle Pitts and Pruitt each had 9, with Jonnu Smith at 7, which I thought was interesting. excuse me. Hodge had 8. Tyler Algier had 5. Scotty Miller had 4. Keith Smith had 3. Algier had 5. Oh, I said Algier had 5. And Josh Ali had 2, which is a good sign for him.
Yeah. Josh Ali played great. He had 3 catches for 39 yards. Including a 21-yard reception. Obviously, he's a guy in this competition for the wide receiver number 5 spot, and I think he's got a good shot. He has made a couple horrible plays. Like last week, he had the dropped ball on the deep ball where he's wide open. But overall, he's impressed this staff and put himself in position to at least be a quality practice squad guy at worst.
Yeah, the fact that he's getting the fact that he's getting one reps is really good for him.
Yeah, the fact that they brought him in so early. They brought him in, I think, with the second stringers, with like Heinicke and stuff. So that's good to see for him. If you're him, you're feeling really good about that, being in with the second stringers. And Heinicke played most of the game, and he played pretty well. Wasn't perfect by any means, yeah, but
he shows some flashes didn't make like
anything
that.
Anything crazy.
He showed some really nice. He had some really nice balls. The Heinicke, you know, you know what you get with Heinicke. Like, I've always called him the beardless Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, he's gonna sling some, and some's gonna be great, and some's gonna be not so great. But he'll be fun when you watch him.
100%. And also, I think we gotta mention Matt Collins looked terrific to start the game. He, I believe, had like two or three catches on the first drive alone. And they weren't like, they were like good route trees, good route concepts to get in position to make those plays.
You know, I said this already, but this offense is going to be so much fun to watch when it gets in the full swing of things. I will say, like, one of my bigger concerns is what is going to happen with this backup O-line with Hennessy going down, because the backup O-line in general did not look great.
I will say what I think is going to happen right now is you obviously have the obvious five starters. You have, we'll go from left to right. You have Jake Matthews. You have Chris Lindstrom. You have Dalman. Then you have, what's his name? Bergeron. And then you have Caleb McGarry. And then at the backup spot, it's looking like Neusel has a good grip on that, being that backup center and also that swing guard. But the only one that's like very uncertain, and Mayfield, aren't looking good for like a swing tackle job. If they're going to make this roster, it's going to be at one tackle spot and not both, because they're not good enough to switch between positions. So that's one thing we'll have to look for. Are we going to sign another tackle to try to compete for that swing tackle job? Or is it going to be a guy like Josh Miles, I believe, number 66? Because those are the three guys competing for it. And I think right now I'd put Josh Miles ahead of him, because obviously Mayfield's up and down. Vrabel's still young and learning. So Miles probably has to be the guy at this point.
I feel like we've got to go, we're going to go out and take a stab at signing a free agent. I think we have to at this point. Like, I would not be comfortable going into the season without a solid backup at tackle.
100%. I agree with that. And with $11.2 million in cap, I think you could get a quality guy. Let's say you say, okay, let's save $5 million in case we have injuries and need to sign people during the season. That gives you $6 million to sign a backup, swing tackle. And then maybe you decide you want to put some money into wide receiver and see, oh, hey, let's bring another wide receiver in. Maybe spend a couple million there. So maybe you spend $4 million on your swing tackle and $2 million on a wide receiver to try to bring someone in to make this room better.
And, you know, it's just, yeah, I think you have to, like we said, like, it's just, it's nerve-wracking to think, like, if McGarry or Jake Matthews goes down, I don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah. And I got to say, I'm going to switch over to the defense for a second. This DB room is crazy. And it, right now it looks like there's like seven safeties on this roster who are good enough to make this roster.
Yeah.
And that being, obviously you got your Bates, your Richie Grants, your Jalen Hawkins, which are locks for this roster. Then you got guys like Micah Abernathy, who played with the second teamers instead of DeMarco Helms, which I thought was very interesting. You obviously have DeMarco Helms. He's probably fifth in the rotation right now. You have Clifford Chapman, which is absolutely crazy. Clifford Chapman is a 6'5 freaky athlete at safety. So it's very exciting to see who will make this roster and who they'll try to hide and maybe keep on the practice squad.
And you know, Helms keeps making plays. I don't think there's any way if he goes down to the practice squad and isn't picked up by somebody. He's looked awesome.
With how well their safeties is played, it's hard to say, oh, we can only take four safeties. Because right now you have maybe five or six bona fide guys where you're like, okay, if that guy makes the roster, we're happy.
Yeah.
So I could see a world where they take five. I don't see them taking six, but I could see them taking five safeties and maybe they take one less corner. Maybe they take one less defensive lineman because they're so good they want to keep these guys. Because you always have some inactives. So maybe they say, hey, we're just going to, instead of taking the typical guy we'd take at this spot, we want this guy because of the potential for later. So it's super interesting. And so many guys, including tight end room, you have Fitzpatrick, who made a nice catch late in the game. The tight ends, obviously, we have six tight ends currently, five that are in the race. We're taking out Tucker Fisk because Fisk is most likely a practice squad guy, or maybe he doesn't even make the practice squad this year because of all the depth. But it's extremely interesting to watch all these competitions.
I just wanted to throw out Natron Brooks. Looked really good last night again.
Yeah, six tackles, a pass deflection, a tackle for loss. He looked great. If he makes this cornerback room, I would not be at all mad because he's absolutely earned a chance to be on this roster.
So, I mean, with the way like guys keep getting hurt, and we talked about Borders is on a 2-game suspension, like it would not surprise me if he got a shot coming into the year as like the fifth cornerback.
Yeah. Darren Hall was out there with the second teams, which we mentioned earlier that he was practicing with them. I didn't see anything bad from him, but I didn't see anything that like flashed like, oh, he's great. He didn't do anything that was terribly wrong, but he didn't do anything that went, oh, he needs to be on the team. It was just kind of what you expect.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing either.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that we don't get to see and we're not privileged to that could indicate that he is the guy.
I will say Breon Borders had a couple nice plays too. I know he didn't have an interception or something. Anything, but he had a couple nice plays where I was like, okay, he's kind of giving himself a shot at this roster.
My one concern with him is just that, yeah, the 2-game suspension.
I hear you there, but the thing with that is you wouldn't have to cut him. So let's say instead you keep another guy and then you just cut them at the end and try to revert them onto the practice squad, and maybe you shift your practice squad around a little bit.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But the 2-game suspension allows them to say, hey, let's wait a minute and see if we want to cut them or if we want to keep them, because we have more time to decide.
Yeah, absolutely. Another person who kind of stood out to me was D'Angelo Malone. It felt like he had a couple of really nice snaps where he was just getting in the backfield really quickly.
100%. D'Angelo Malone has impressed this offseason, and I think he's put himself in position to be a quality. I believe he'd be the fourth edge, which is insane because he looks like he could be a third guy rotating in for some teams. And that's crazy to say as a Falcons fan, saying we have enough depth where we got guys where if they were higher on the depth chart for other teams, it wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah, so we have the depth. Now we just need, I feels like we need the one guy to just step up and be the guy, right?
Yeah. And we're hoping that's Ebiketie. But if it's like a mixture of him, Calais Campbell and Grady, that's fine. Let's say they combine for like 20 sacks combined. Mm-hmm. That would be perfect. Because then you're having those guys get maybe 6 to 8 sacks each, which is exactly what you need from all of them.
Yeah. This is going to be, this is, I've said it before, this is going to be a tough team. This is going to be a tough team to make.
Mm-hmm. I think the practice squad guys are legit guys. The guys who make the practice squad are legit football players. And if y'all don't think so, go watch their tape, go watch their highlights. You'll see they're legit guys, which is super exciting to see, because we haven't had these guys in a while.
I am so excited to watch this offense. Like, I can't remember. It's just like, there's so many playmakers that are just so natural and smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm jumping backwards, but I'm just like thinking about, you know, I couldn't even explain Bijan. Like, he's so slippery, right? And you just like, it honestly looks like a bunch of people. It honestly looks like a bunch of people trying to grab soap with wet hands. Like, he's just like squirt, like just slip sliding right out effortlessly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. His first carry was a 12-yard run for a first down, where he, like, 5 yards into the run, he slipped a tackle and then got 7 more for a first down. So it was really nice to see, and I'm really happy about that. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people might not have been focused on fully focused on the Falcons game, because there was a big high school game on national TV on ESPN2. Langston Hughes, who's ranked number 15 in the nation, versus Carrollton, which was a very interesting game if y'all didn't watch it. So just shout out to that. I was watching a bit. I was kind of switching back and forth trying to see what was going on, and very exciting to watch that one.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to point out was just a couple of injuries, right? Like, Kadarryl Hodge went down. Mm-hmm. He was spotted with a boot after camp. Or, I'm sorry, he was spotted with a boot after the game. Penny Hart seemed to have hit his head. You know, so losing a lot of backup wide receivers is going to just push Ollie and Xavier Malone, who look great once again, but is just going to push them up further up the depth chart.
As of today, I think it's Ollie or Xavier Malone's job to lose. Those are the two in competition for wide receiver 5. And I think Penny Hart's kind of dropped in this competition. He might be behind former XFL receiver Matthew Sexton, because he hasn't really flashed any. He's mostly just been there.
He's not really
notice him. And it's not like the type of position where you're an O-lineman where you don't want to notice them. This is the type of position you want to see them and notice them there on the field, and not just be watching the game and you go, oh, Penny Hart's on the field. I didn't even realize that. Because that's kind of a bad thing for him, that he's not getting any catches. Maybe he's doing the stuff that we're not seeing.
He's doing a lot of special teams work.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, truthfully, that's going to be the ticket to make this team, I think. I don't expect, truthfully, our fifth wide receiver, or even really our fourth wide receiver, to get that many looks. So I think to be on all the special teams is probably more important at this point. So I don't know. It's going to be tough to decide. It's going to be tough to decide, and we talked about this last week, but tough to decide our defensive line. You know, it kind of seems like it's coming down to either Albert Huggins or Timmy Horn as the guy to make or cut from this D-line group.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple other good plays by some other defensive linemen who are kind of behind them, I think. But overall, the room has looked solid everywhere you look. I can't think of like a bad spot for a crazy bad spot for this defense. I can think D-line's a little more of a weakness, but there's plenty of depth and plenty of guys competing for those back end roster spots that you feel confident you're going to get them filled with quality players.
Yeah. I'm really liking where this team's going. I also think too, we've talked about the running back spot, you know, Godwin Ikabuke. Godwin. He's looked good too. I don't know if we're going to keep a fourth. I don't know if we'll keep a fourth running back just with the ability of Keith Smith to kind of play running back in the pinch, but
I think we will, but who knows? Maybe we keep three, but as of right now, I'd probably pencil in a fourth. I will say we haven't even mentioned how bad Mariota looked in his preseason game.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
3 for 9. I believe he was sacked once. Only averaged maybe 20 yards passing overall among those nine attempts. But he was horrible for them and had many people scratching their heads on how the Falcons won as many games as they did last year with him at the quarterback. So it was very great to see that he was so bad as a Falcons fan and that we were able to win so much. Because then you get that confidence and you're like, oh, okay, this seems like this team should do much better with Ridder at the helm.
Yeah, Arthur Smith knows what he's doing.
And I will say Arthur Smith is a great play caller. You could see him on the sideline, and whatever he dialed up on that first drive with the starters absolutely worked. Every play call seemed to be like the perfect call. So it was very fun to see him just absolutely scheming everything open.
Yeah. All right. Well,
should we get to our defensive and offensive players of the game?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll let you go ahead and go first.
So offensive players of the game, without, you know, I'm not going to include any of the starting guys, even though you could give it to so many of them. I mean, Drake London was an absolute beast. But I think I'm going to give it to Fitzpatrick. I think that one big catch that he had set up the field goal for the win. Oh, by the way, Koo made both of his field goals, so we don't have to be worrying about that anymore. But like that big catch from Fitzpatrick to tie the game, like I think I got to give it to him. But you could have gone in so many different directions. You know, we had a lot of guys looking good out there. So
I think I'll also go from the receiving core. And this one's going to be a bit of an interesting one. I'm going to go with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He looked great. He had a 27-yard reception where he tried to reach the ball out but wasn't able to reach it out far enough. They spotted him at the one, and then Carlos Washington ran it in for a 1-yard touchdown. Overall, 2 catches, 39 yards, solid game for him. So I'll say he's the MVP for this game.
And it was really like so spread out this whole entire, like from everybody. Nobody really, I don't want to say nobody really stood out. I feel like a lot of people stood out, but it wasn't like on a consistent basis on offense. It was like the ball was going everywhere to every player. So you could have gone in a lot of different directions, I think, for this.
There was no player that like put themselves above the rest. Is what you're trying to say. There was a couple players that played well, but there's none that played like crazy well, as evident by the guys we picked and their stat lines. Like Fitzpatrick had 2 catches for 30 yards, including a big 25-yard catch to put them in field goal range to end the game in a tie. And also Arcega-Whiteside had an important catch to end in a touchdown drive. So it's really hard to pick, as these guys had similar plays where they had similar value to the game.
And going defensively, I think there's a lot of different directions you can go, but I think that you saw a lot more splashes from guys out there. I have a hard time picking. I've got like three guys on the top of my head, and I think I'm going to go in the Trone Brooks. I think that he's just looked really good out there at the cornerback position. He had some really nice pass breakups, a good tackle for a loss. He's playing himself right into making the squad, I think.
I totally agree with that. I think it's a great pick. And I was sitting here thinking, and I was looking at the players, and I was thinking, I'm either going to go DeMarco Helms or Natrone Brooks. And since you went Natrone Brooks, I'm going to go DeMarco Helms. Helms is a guy, second game with an interception, a couple of pass deflections. He's looked solid, and he's given this front office a reason not to cut him and said, oh, you better put me on this roster. So I was very excited to see that from him.
Yeah, and I think, too, we talked about this when he was drafted. You know, the Tennessee game, he dropped like three rounds after the Tennessee game. He gave up like four touchdowns to Jalen Hyatt, but Jalen Hyatt was scoring on everybody. But he's showing right now like he belongs in this league. He's a good, instinctual, tough football player who's going to make it very difficult to just even put him on a practice squad.
Yeah, I will say the only team Jalen Hyatt didn't really score on was the Georgia Bulldogs, as they just physicaled him at the line, and he ended up like walking off feeling injured and stuff. So that was a tough matchup for anyone aside from the best defense in college football. So it's understandable that he'd get beat pretty badly by a guy of Hyatt's nature.
Yeah, and it was great, you know, they schemed it up well, so Hyatt was matched up on him specifically. Yeah.
But like, and that's the like, perfect matchup, because you know he's not athletic enough to cover him. He's better like down in the box or with short, strong, intermediate routes.
You never want your strong safety to be covering the other team's fastest receiver.
Yeah. You want them on their slowest receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
You want them in a 1v1 matchup. Or their slowest player on the field.
You want them on a tight end. Yeah, a tight end or a running back, something along those lines. I'll also say that my honorable mention for defense was D'Angelo Malone, although he didn't record a lot of things statistically. He just, like I said, he was in the backfield a lot. Anything else you want to mention or bring up about this game?
I think we did everything, but I think I got to say Clifford Chapman is probably not ending up on the Falcons practice squad. He is probably not going to make this active roster, but I think there's a chance he makes someone else's active roster. So I'm very excited to watch how it goes, how some teams take guys from the Falcons and put them on their active roster versus Falcons who they end up on their practice squad and roster. And I believe we only got one more week of preseason, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, one more week, and then I'll be going to the Panthers Falcons game, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I'm super excited for the start of the season, and with that, rise up.
I say one more thing is that I would say about Chapman is I would say we're gonna see really quick how this team values the practice squad slots based on potential versus like current evaluation, right? Because if you're looking at potential and looking at a guy who might be able to be great, then you want to keep Chapman on the practice squad. If you're looking at a guy who you need somebody to come in and play, then I think Chapman would, like you said, won't make the squad. So,
yeah. I think if you're another team and you see Chapman, who's probably not going to make this team just because of the amount of depth at the DB room, I think you have to, if you're the Panthers or Cardinals or some team who's not going to be in competition, you say, hey, we're going to store him on the back of this roster just so no other team can have him. That's what I'd do. So it's gonna be interesting to see. I hope he can stay with the Falcons, but I'm not sure if he
Yeah.
can.
So guys, with that, we went over the awesome game. Again, this offense, just to kind of hit some points, this offense is going to be fun. A lot of depth, a lot of competition to make this roster. We need to kind of figure out the backup offensive line, swing tackle position. But besides that, guys, I'm looking forward to next week and continuing on this train until Atlanta wins 12 or 13 games this year. You heard it here first.
I hope so.
All
Rise
right, guys,
up.
rise up.
Again, this is Thon Ray. You guys can follow us at Falcons underscore drip on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do to get the alert for our next episode. If you guys enjoyed today, please leave us a review. It always helps us grow. Until then, see you next time. Rise up.